Good morning again. This morning's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all of the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Bless the reading of today's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On this second Sunday in Advent, we have this familiar story of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. In it, John warns the Jewish people that the Lord is coming, and life as they know it is about to change forever. For John can only baptize with water, but the one who is to come will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist is what we call a prophetic preacher. As a prophet, his job is to warn the people of what will happen to them if they don't change their ways. But as a preacher, his job is to prepare the people for Jesus and his coming kingdom. Like the prophets of the Old Testament, Jesus preaches a word that is hard to hear. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." A voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." For John, we prepare ourselves for the coming kingdom by repentance. Now, there are two main types of repentance. There's individual repentance, and then there is corporate repentance. Individual repentance is when we reflect on our own role in creating a world where the wealthy and powerful exploit the vulnerable, where we abuse the earth, where we take delight in turning neighbor against neighbor. It is to turn away from such behavior and to cultivate practices of love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, and generosity. The much more difficult form of repentance is what we call corporate repentance. It's where we reflect on how our individual actions create problems that we are actually responsible for. An example of corporate repentance is our presbytery's decision not to print meeting packets anymore. for our presbytery meetings. They encourage us to look at the documents on our smartphones or our tablets, and if we have to print out the minutes, to print them double-sided. All of this is done so that we can cut down on our paper usage. This may sound like a small thing, but our presbytery packets are usually upwards of 50 pages. Multiply 50 pages by 300 commissioners times our 4 meetings, and an entire forest is gone just in presbytery meeting packets. Friends, during Advent, the church ponders anew how to join with God in the movement towards a world that is more in line with the kingdom of heaven. One way that we do this is by reflecting on how our behavior impacts the world around us. I would argue that one behavior that we all participate in to some degree or another that has huge consequences on our world is consumerism. Consumerism is this idea that we were put on this earth to acquire more and more goods. Now, we all need certain goods or things, things like food or clothing or electricity. The problem becomes when we start buying things that we don't need, because this can have huge consequences in the world we live in. Take this past week, for example, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday. Each of these holidays that aren't holidays exist for the sole purpose to get us to spend money on things we maybe don't really need. We're supposed to be taking advantage of sales that stores are running this week to get a head start on our Christmas shopping. But who among us didn't also pick up one or two things for themselves this weekend? If we had any money left over from last weekend, on Tuesday morning our inboxes were inundated with pleas from nonprofits asking us to help contribute to make so that they could make their year-end budgets. Now, there is nothing wrong with supporting nonprofits. They are doing good and valuable work in our communities. But we need to be careful that we're not just giving to nonprofits so we can brag about it on our social media accounts, or so that the nonprofit will publish our name in their newsletters or on their giving walls. So if we have to buy stuff to live, and if we should support the nonprofits doing good work in our communities, how might we repent of our consumerism? I think the first step is acknowledging the ways that we bought into the lie that the more stuff we have, the more important we are as people. Advent is a good time to take a moment and remind ourselves who we are and whose we are. That we were created to do more than just buy another pair of leggings we don't need, or a crock pot we'll use once a year. The second step is to reflect on how our actions contribute to problems in the world we live in. Over the weekend, in kind of the height of the Black Friday, Cyber Monday madness, one of my minister friends posted a picture on her Facebook account that listed a list of questions we should ask ourselves before we buy something. These questions help us see how our actions impact those around us. Before we buy, we are to ask ourselves, 1, who made it? The reason we ask ourselves this question is sometimes we buy things that are super cheap because they're made by children in a country that doesn't pay their workers anything to manufacture it. Also, sometimes things are more expensive because they are made locally, paying people more than minimum wage, and that will affect the price of things. The second question is, can I find it used? So this Saturday, my gym is having their annual cookie exchange. And what do you need to make cookies? Anyone? Besides butter, sugar, all that stuff. What? Well, okay, so you need a KitchenAid mixer, unless you want to stand there and mix it yourself. So this week I actually found myself going, like, I should buy a KitchenAid mixer. And I was like, but you make cookies once a year. Wouldn't it be better if you could just borrow someone's for the weekend and make your cookies and then give it back? That's kind of what we mean by, can we buy it? Can we find it used? Another question is can I find it locally? So it doesn't apply so much in the winter, but over the summer, there are a ton of farmers markets happening in the area. And yes, it is more expensive to get your produce from a farmers market than the grocery store, but it is generally better to support local businesses than chain stores. The next question is the one that I struggle with a lot, which is, why do I want this particular thing? This week I found myself in Target a lot staring at the Christmas lights displays and actually having to tell myself, you have Christmas lights at home that work. You don't actually need new ones. So that's kind of what this question is getting at. The next question is how long will this thing serve me? I think this is a helpful question when you're thinking about like bigger purchases. So for example, if you really want a pair of shoes that costs more than you normally spend, is this a pair of shoes that you're gonna wear every day or most days for a couple years? Or are these shoes something that you can only wear on those days when it's sunny and 65 degrees, which happens like 4 days out of the year here in Pittsburgh? I really like this next question, which is, where will the thing go when I'm finished with it? I think this is particularly helpful when you're thinking about things like clothes or holiday decorations. Because at some point, you will either, the clothing won't be in style, or it won't fit you, or you just are tired of it. So when you're done with it, are you going to throw it away? Are you going to give it to someone? Are you going to donate it to Goodwill? The last question is probably the most important, and this is the one that I can talk myself out of all the time, which is this thing really necessary? So again, going back to my Target example, I live in a four-bedroom or four-room apartment. Do I really need a Christmas tree in every single room of my house, or will having, yes, I think I do too, but that's not so helpful. Or am I okay with having one Christmas tree in my living room and not having them take up all of the space in my apartment? Friends, the reason that we ask these questions, the reason that we participate in repentance, is because it helps us prepare ourselves for Jesus. By learning to let go of the things that weigh us down, or perhaps more importantly, by learning how not to pick up what is not ours to pick up, we will have more energy and more passion to devote to Jesus. On this second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace. Unfortunately, the only way to get to peace is through repentance. When we repent, we do the hard work of naming behaviors that we don't like about ourselves, because we have hope and faith that God is going to love us despite them. And it is only through repentance that we are able to find peace. Friends, I urge you to take some time this week to name some of the behaviors that you don't like about yourself. To name the behaviors you don't like occurring in the world around us. To ask God to forgive you. To ask for forgiveness on behalf of someone else. To grapple with how you will behave differently in the future. Friends, as we await the birth of Jesus, let us prepare ourselves for his coming through repentance. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.